Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the Pac West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
So some news today, news conference held in Southeast Portland regarding that old carousel that you rode as a kid. My wife this morning, I said, did you ever ride that carousel at Jansen Beach? And she said, I was 9 years old. It was Rose Festival. And I went there and I rode it. I said, what do you remember of it? She said, it was big. It was magnificent. It was amazing to see. I've talked to other people who said, one other person told me their memories of that Jansen Beach carousel are ice cream and no worries, which I think is great. Craig Cheek with the Portland Diamond Project is in studio with me. You guys, what are you doing with this carousel? Do you own the carousel? Are you in a partnership? What's the deal?
Yeah, we're in a partnership, and it was a lot of fun today at noon to kind of announce that the carousel's been found. It's been in good stewardship with the Restore Oregon group, and they've been looking for a home and a partner, and organically through the nudging of Mayor Wheeler and late Commissioner Nick Fish, who really was the primary driver. One of our charter investors, Harvey and Sandy Platt, as soon as they heard the news, thought it would be fantastic as part of our development. So all roads pushed in, and today was kind of the culmination of we figured it out. We're going to go into partnership together. We're going to restore every single one of the 72 horses and all of that. And then we have a rightful place for it in our development. It's going to be awesome.
I saw the renderings. It looks like it's in the renderings. Is it out front of the stadium? So is it part of sort of
entrance? We're painting a vision that it is going to be part of that apron, that pavilion on that waterfront somewhere. You know, don't hold this to us because when you get into the master planning, things may move a little bit. But the idea would be to aggregate some of these beloved civic assets and make this truly the sports and entertainment new district for Portland. So this will add a lot of love, family-friendly, affordable fun, right, which Portlanders look for. And we were always going to create these amazing spaces. You know, now we have a great opportunity to bring the carousel there.
I communicated a little bit with one of your charter investors, Harvey Platt, who's with his wife, Sandy, in California. And you know, they're dealing with a tough situation with his father-in-law, but he took time to say, like, that carousel meant something to him. He went there with his grandmother, and I think I've heard that story over and over from people who visited it over the years and rode to it, and I think it's smart for you guys to include that as part of the project. Now, the big question I keep getting is this really happening? Does that happen in your circle?
Oh my gosh, about every 3 minutes.
No,
it is the big question because we've been a little bit quiet, right? Yeah. And we did go to the winter meetings in December. We've been cranking away on things. Hey, I'm going to always tell you, of course, do not lose hope. Yeah. Do not lose optimism. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just that we're on this journey between things that we still need to do, and there's a few that we're still ticking off, but really MLB kind of catching up to their agenda. And if you saw even some of the news as of tomorrow, you know, as late as yesterday, there's new playoff formats being discussed. Lots of things. That means the game and hopefully the league is moving forward. And we've always looked at those signs as very positive.
Let's talk about a few of those things. It's always been expansion or relocation. If you're sitting in Portland or in the state of Oregon and you want baseball to happen, are we supposed to be watching Oakland or Tampa or Manfred? Or where should our eyes and ears be?
All of the above, right? So news coming out of the owners' meeting. Now there appears to be support in Tampa to pilot or beta test a split season. We thought there's no way.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, it looks as if that may be a way to keep baseball in Tampa and interject baseball back into Montreal. Again, I don't know if that'll, at the end of the day, if that's going to carry the day, but it's movement that it's moving forward. Because remember, if the commissioner can get Tampa and Oakland kind of situated and stabilized, he absolutely wants to move to expansion. So then watch the Oakland news, right? Coming up in May, I think it's late April, early May, will be the end of the six-month window that they had to purchase the other half of the property at the Coliseum site. So there are now some definitive guardrails around timelines that we believe we are going to get a breakthrough on some new insights on Tampa and Oakland. And we're in a collective bargaining year right now. We entered into that, which means the leagues are going to push for more jobs, et cetera. So we've always focused as a project, get to the first half of 2020, try to do as much as you can to get yourself ready, and then the window of clarity should be coming.
Craig Cheek with us, founder of Portland Diamond Project. We've talked money before.
Yep.
Do you still have the financial commitment? Is that part of, I guess that's a moving target because you've got an economy and you've got, you know, commitment letters, but how long can those letters, can you hang on to those letters, or is that an ongoing everyday thing for you?
Well, what has happened, John, is actually the development opportunity is getting bigger and more robust. So part of what we're doing behind the scenes is actually trying to aggregate even a larger amount of capital to be able to pull off not only purchasing a franchise, building the stadium, mm-hmm. but also catalyzing the development. So yes, we feel pretty good that the chunk that we talked about that's been committed, that's actually needs to grow, and we believe it is growing. And then the trick is actually getting it structured and into, you know, accounts that we clearly know the buckets of where that equity is going. So yeah, there's still some behind the scenes stuff we're doing there, but we feel pretty confident that it's coming together.
Is there a chance? I mean, I talked to you before about building the stadium before you have a team, and that's crazy talk. The more I think about it, I said you'd never do that. But what about the rest of the development? Could you develop the carousel pavilion, apron area, housing, restaurant, entertainment district, and then add the stadium later?
That's a great question, and it's one that we're entertaining right now. But remember what we also said as we kind of rounded out the calendar year. We had kicked off a transportation study that is going on right now. It's in full swing. So a lot of what we have to kind of collaborate on is the infrastructure needs, the transportation. You want to solve for the bigger picture, but you do want to get going. Because I think it would show momentum, shovels going into ground, things happening. So yeah, I think there's a way that development can actually get going, get envisioned, get agreed to. But we do want to get some more data points and some more studies that should be coming around the same time that Oakland finishes up some of their environmental and some of their stuff.
That Oakland thing's not happening. I mean, I lived in the Bay Area. I know that they are they're dreaming, right? Are they just stalling, hoping Portland and Nashville and some other places will go away and Vegas will get distracted by something else? And
you know, I don't know. I think in earnest they are really trying. You know, when you lose the Raiders, when you lose the Warriors, it's when it's your last bastion of professional sports there. I think they're trying everything. But I'm with you. I think there are way more hurdles and a bigger heavy lift to get Howard Terminal over the top. It's an active port. There's all kinds of people against it. I think the Coliseum site actually could be very plausible and feasible. It's just not the sexiest site. Yeah. It's got infrastructure already built in. So one of the things that could happen is they're going to buy that real estate, have it, and then whether they sell the team or not, they can always include that in the deal. But I don't see Howard Terminal happening. There's just too many data points that say it's a problem.
Craig Cheek with us, founder of Portland Diamond Project. The site that you've looked at, Terminal 2, versus maybe some other sites we see today, Concordia University is, there's another opportunity there. Are you locked into that site, or are you continuing to explore other options just in case something more attractive comes along?
Yeah, I think how we've approached it is lock into a primary site, go deep, get all of the information, and actually go maybe broader. So there could be some additional news we share around a bigger vision for that area, right, which would be great. But we've also said be smart and be opportunistic and be aware that if you need a contingency plan, you better have one in your back pocket. So we continue to, it's a tragic story. Concordia's been around 115 years.
I know.
And they're sitting on, you know, 24 acres, I think. So something can be developed and built there and probably will be. But we continue to keep our eyes and ears open, but I don't want to lose sight of the big transformational, compelling nature of what it would be like to be on the waterfront.
Let's say baseball drags its feet. You don't get an answer in Oakland, Tampa. Manfred doesn't say anything for 5 years. Can you guys sustain? Can you last that long? Or is there some pressure that needs to be exerted on Major League Baseball to make a decision here?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. We definitely want to see this happen. Everybody involved has a long-term view of this. This is a legacy play for a lot of us. We're so passionate about seeing it happen. But you just brought up, we could create a real estate arm and have under our Portland Diamond Project Holdco, where maybe the best result is an incredible waterfront new district, and maybe the ballpark and team didn't come or did come. There's other things we can be doing to take a look at it. I can't get myself there because I'm so believing that our window of opportunity for Portland. And again, we've said expansion has to have a West Coast and an East Coast team go in at the same time. We believe we are the West Coast destination. There's nobody else that's really poked its head up that said, we want it. Portland, I think, is the perfect market at the right time. So we'll go down both paths. We're going to be a real estate and developer as part of this project, but I would hate to see that happen without baseball being the catalyst and the anchor.
The discussions you've had with Major League Baseball, what can you tell us about? What feedback are you getting from them?
You know, it was a little bit of a kind of a different mojo down in San Diego at the winter meetings. You had the signal stealing saga in full swing.
Yeah.
You had the MILB eradication of 42 minor league franchises in full swing.
There was kind of a bad time to say, commish.
It was. And the best thing that they did is they teed up Scott Boras to announce all of these huge agent signings, right? But it wasn't a really fruitful time to go deep. Now I think they're working through, hopefully, some of these issues. And just yesterday, I took a big win away that they're starting to talk about playoff formats, additional games mattering in September and October. So I think they're ready to move the game forward.
The competition Portland would have, you mentioned West and East. Is it Vancouver, BC? Vegas? Who is it?
You know, I love Vancouver, BC. It's a great city, but there is no effort, no group on the ground making that happen. San Antonio, same. It's been mentioned. No group, no energy there. Vegas gets mentioned because politically they threw their name in the hat for something, but there's no group on the ground driving it.
Yeah.
But everybody knows Vegas can build stuff.
Vegas will just build it.
Yeah, like, they'll just build it. Yeah. It's not it's actually a market quite a bit smaller than Portland. And it's not a great fit for baseball season, June, July, August, September. I think they get basketball or something before they really turn their attention to baseball. So we're kind of it on the West Coast, you know, and we just need to kind of stay in the front of that pack, be in that pole position and keep doing things like announcing, you know, more elements and more intrigue to our development. Like a carousel. These are the kinds of things that help shape our story and our narrative.
Yeah, and I think that it opens such a big discussion today. We start today's show talking about it. A lot of people excited, other people just skeptical because they've lived here and they've watched people make small plans for decades. I'm glad you guys are making big plans. That's good.
Yep.
The you know, that momentum that you need to keep going, how do you keep that going and keep people excited while... We have seen several other attempts that have failed. People are conditioned here, Craig, to kind of go, this isn't happening.
No, we feel it every day. We feel like we have our foot on the accelerator to create that momentum and create energy. And then we keep tapping the brake on occasion to temper with the fan base that be patient. I know we haven't talked to you in 60, 90 days, and there's going to be some things that can seem more superficial, but... And in terms of announcements, but you have to remember, it's all got to add up to the story. We're going to hit, we think, 50,000 signatures over the next couple of weeks. We're going to celebrate that. There's a bunch of athletes that will come to town, and people will go, wow, look at that. There's still a lot of energy, but you'll get the skeptics going, is this just a muse because you can't kind of get it done? Just be a little patient because we have to be. And recognize that we're going to put our foot on the accelerator with the league. We're going to try to crank it up. All the signs pointed to January through June of 2020. We're there now. So keep watching Tampa, Oakland. Keep watching how the league is signaling expansion. And then we'll keep doing what we feel we need to do on the ground to be ready.
The politics in the state of Oregon, you know, there was a little opposition when you guys came out, but it looks like the mayor's office is on board. What's the climate right now politically?
Yeah, no, I think it's positive. You know, whenever you take the focus on needing to take general funding on a lot of the budget issues that the state and the cities are wrestling with, then it becomes a little bit more palatable that, wow, okay, now this is going to grow the economy. This is going to add jobs. This is going to be transformative. So people can rally around that because we aren't asking for a public referendum on public money, right? So I think people are starting to buy into this may be our window. If we're going to be a three-sport city and we love our two sports and we support them loyally, could we add another one? Yes, this feels like the one to add. So Mayor Wheeler was upbeat and energetic today. He was pretty stoked. We've had great conversations at the state level. The elections are going to be really interesting, right? There's a number of seats at the commissioner level that will come up May and August and then into the general election. And so we'll hope to work with people that are favorable for baseball and want to see this thing happen.
Craig Cheek with us, founder of the Portland Diamond Project. Again, today's news, the Jansen Beach Carousel, that his 116-year-old carousel, now being restored with Restore Oregon and the Portland Diamond Project renderings out that I've tweeted out, and you can obviously go to their social media as well, include that carousel. Before I cut you loose, sort of the market size. I had somebody call in earlier who said, you know, we're market 21, 22 in television, Blazers, Timbers, Thorns, this is about all we can support. I think there's a little more demand out there, and I think it's a family thing. It's a different calling than a Blazer season ticket. What do your studies tell you?
Yeah, we did a big economic study with CSL, the Legends Group out of Frisco, Texas, and we just benchmark really, really well. We are actually backing that up. We're doing a study now with Eco Northwest here in Portland to kind of validate a lot and go a little bit deeper in the business climate, et cetera, et cetera. But I will tell you, Portland punches way above its weight. We really do. There are more $100,000 jobs pouring into Portland. So you start looking at disposable income. Yep. You start looking at what people want to spend their experience dollars on. You look at the summer months that are primarily baseball months, where the entertainment is. And we sit in this really cool fusion of athletic brands meets high tech, meets food and bev. It's kind of a perfect mashup for sports and entertainment, which is why I think we've done so well and why I think we have the capacity for more.
Sport Oregon got involved with the Women's Final Four bid. I think they're going to get the Women's Final Four here.
Too.
You've got Adidas, Nike, Under Armour headquartered here. Are you at all involved with Sport Oregon? Are you getting any push from them?
Oh, man, love Jim Etzel. He's one of our closest partners, and he's just done a remarkable job in 2 years.
I agree.
Stepping into that role.
That organization was a non-factor, and now they're everywhere. And
they are. Yeah. They are. Credit to Jim.
Yeah.
And he's just reset his team recently and added more horsepower to that, because I think they're feeling with the track and field championships, with Final Fours coming, with baseball in the winds, there's a lot of great stuff. You know, and, you know, Mr. Knight and Nike and everybody, I think they had visions. I don't know if they still do, of Olympics here, Olympic trials here, just more capacity for sports.
Could a baseball stadium be part of that?
I think it could.
Is that a discussion? Is Phil Knight, you know, you're a Nike guy. You've had conversations with...
No, I just mentioned Phil because I know the track and field stuff's coming up, and I was bummed that Leica Entertainment didn't win their Oscar the other night. They won a Golden Globe, but I thought this might have been Leica's turn, Travis's turn.
Yeah.
But no, I still stay close to the sports landscape here, and Nike's just a monster juggernaut.
Yeah.
And I would love to see more support. I think any event we've brought to town ends up surprising people at how much support there is. So we're ready.
All right. Now, for people who want to be more involved, petition at your website, anything else that people should be doing?
Yeah, come out and support. We've got a whole list of volunteers now that are happening. We've got a really cool Black History event going on at Jefferson High School on February 20th. Artie Wilson Jr. is flying in from Hawaii. We got Bob Kendrick, who is the president of the Negro Historic Museum in Kansas City, is flying out. Hmm. And then come see us at the Portland Auto Show. We're actually going to be there talking with the public and doing some pretty cool stuff there. So come talk to us. We're relaunching the community door in March. So come down and see us. But yeah, sign the petition, follow us, and don't lose hope or optimism. This is going to happen. Hang in there with us.
I just tell people, I said it off the top of the show, you know, I think about Harry Glickman, who listens to this show. I know he listens every day. He listens right before his nap, and I get him ready to sleep. And he made big plans. He brought NFL teams here. He had that Delta Dome pretty much done and ends up bringing the Blazers to Portland. If he doesn't champion that, what do we have, right? You need a Merritt Paulson. You need Harry Glickman. Larry Bear in San Francisco said we could build a stadium downtown. Everybody said that's nuts. You'll never get it done. The real estate's not there. Now they're downtown San Francisco.
Yep. And actually a really cool thing that we're exploring that is one of the updates that I want to give over the next several weeks is there is an opportunity to have this be a benchmark smart city district. We are getting reach outs from big, big global companies and influencers that said, why not build a smart city from the scratch in that development? Because you'll have enough acreage to do it and have everything Alexa enabled, everything at your phone, ring, watch, have it be a work, live, play district, have it be the most sustainable and the most accessible ballpark to get to. So stay tuned for maybe some even bigger breakthroughs on this thing, but that's the kind of stuff I think Portlanders can get excited about.
Craig Cheek, thanks for making time.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Greg,
you. I want your phone calls, your reaction to this. 503-417-7575. It's your turn. Your reaction, 503-417-7575. Craig Cheek, Portland Diamond Project, came in studio. Thank him for stopping by. Bottom line, this is a waiting game for the Diamond Project. They have to have the funding, have the vision, have the longevity to stick around while Major League Baseball figures out what it's doing with Oakland, what it's doing with Tampa, what it's doing with expansion. I want this to happen. You want this to happen? Is it going to happen? You tell me what your thoughts were about what he said. Peter, I want your reaction. Alabama Adriana, I want your reaction. We've got people who've been holding for a long while. Mark is in Albany. Mark, did you hear Craig Cheek?
Yes, I did, but it still didn't answer my question.
What's your question?
What are you guys, what are they going to do about the freeways? Because there's people that would love to go see the Blazers, would love to go see this baseball team, would love to go see the Timbers. We don't like that traffic.
I don't like that traffic either. Here's what I've asked them that question, so I can tell you this.
Because it's going to cost us taxpayers money, just like the transit tax, all in Oregon, to get up there to watch the game.
Well, all right. Let's start with this. I mean, there's a variety of ways that they're going to have to come up with that are creative to get people to and from games if they're going to pick that spot. Now, that comes with the if. I've been down to that Terminal 2 spot. Okay? It's not easy to get down there. It's not easy to get out of there. I could see congestion being a problem. Some of the things that have been discussed are water taxis, a bridge from the train center, some city transit that would drop people off, people would be able to walk over a footbridge to get to the stadium. Also, you've got some infrastructure that is already down there, but you're going to have to get an investment from the city to create some infrastructure around the ballpark. Now, that would be true whether or not it is a ballpark. Right now, it's a dock. It's a working dock, and you don't have to have, but if it becomes an entertainment district, let's say there's no ballpark involved. Let's just say somebody someday buys that piece of property and says, you know what, we just want to develop housing and we want to develop an entertainment district. The city's going to have to invest. The city's going to have to invest in infrastructure around the park. Now, they're saying they're not asking for public dollars, but they're doing studies right now. I also think, and it's why I asked him, is this your only location? Because I think there's going to be parcels of property that come available between now and whenever this day comes that baseball goes, you know what, Portland, we're calling on you. I think there's going to be parcels of property that have become available that may be more attractive to the Diamond Project. I don't know if it's the Lloyd Center Mall. I don't know if it's the property that Concordia University was sitting on, 25 acres of property. I don't know what that is, but it's a valid question, Mark in Albany. You want to be able to come to a game, and I think that is a city question more than it is a Diamond Project question on how you get people to and from the game. Like, if you know, if you're going to put this ballpark down where it is, there's going to have to be some work done, and you're going to have some creative solutions. I would love to take a water taxi to a baseball game. Not just the novelty of it, but I would love for there to be several stations on both sides of the river where you could park a car in a parking garage, pull into a parking lot, park the car in a parking garage, and for a few dollars, jump on a ferry and be taxied with a larger group of people all the way to the ballpark. That solves a huge problem, and it saves people from having to all get their vehicles down into that Terminal 2 area. But these are questions that, you know, Craig Cheek and his team and the city and the studies that they're doing, these are questions that are all being answered there, because if you leave it as is, it would be a nightmare with traffic congestion. You just can't.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.